and a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, a big day, all eyes on the United States as a major meeting is set to take place coming up at 3:30 Eastern this afternoon here on the East Coast in Alaska. It'll be 11 a.m. local time in Alaska, Anchorage to be precise, where President Donald Trump will meet with the Russian president in Vladimir Putin. The President Trump, he is set to depart the White House. He was supposed to do so at 6:45. It's not immediately clear whether he has or has not left the White House yet. Likely to speak to media, either leaving the White House, hopping on Marine One to fly over to Joint Base Andrews, or if he doesn't speak there, maybe when he reaches the Joint Base and hops on Air Force One for the about 7-hour flight to Alaska. So that was supposed to happen at 6:45. It's not immediately clear if it has happened yet. I haven't seen any live feeds coming in, but if the president does talk to the press, talk to the media, which seems, you know, presumably pretty likely, at least at some point today during his departure, we will cover that live. I've got the live feed open showing the plane currently sitting at Joint Base Andrews. It's ready for takeoff. So if the president does speak to the media there, we'll bring you those comments live as they unfold right here on the show. And, you know, really, this is what today is all about. And it's been kind of telegraphed by President Trump. He wants to see whether Russian President Vladimir Putin is actually serious about peace. He wants to see if the Russian president is actually interested in coming to some sort of a peace agreement or some sort of peace deal. And I think that's what today in large part probably is. Now, it would be great if the president can, if Trump can get Putin to agree to some sort of temporary ceasefire, some sort of actual progress towards peace in this war, which has been brewing now for 3 years. Obviously, that would be the goal. That would be the objective. But if that's not the case, if that's not going to come out of this meeting today, I think you're going to have both President Donald Trump and Marco Rubio. Those are going to be the two that are meeting with Putin and his top advisor. It's going to be a four-man meeting, obviously, with translators in the room as well. But those will be the four that will be doing the negotiating. I would suspect and would imagine that Trump is going to face-to-face, in person, really going to feel out the Russian president and see whether the attempts at talking about peace, the attempts to try and bring both sides to the table, if that's actually something that's practical or not. And that, I think, is something that is hard to do when you're having phone conversations, when you're sending over diplomats, which the United States has been very diligent. It was just last week, right, that Steve Witkoff was over in Moscow at the Kremlin negotiating. He was not talking, I don't believe he was directly talking to the Russian president, but talking to those around him. And it's very hard, I would imagine, for President Trump to try and determine whether Putin is serious about this or not when they talk over the phone. I mean, it's a completely different animal than when you're face-to-face with somebody, when you're sitting in the same room. The stakes, of course, are going to be incredibly high as we watch this process. We won't watch it. It's going to happen in a closed meeting. But as this four-man meeting unfolds a little bit later on today, if nothing else, I think that is what you are going to see. Probably one of the key objectives from the United States side, from Marco Rubio and Donald Trump. So this is kind of a rundown of where things are. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said just that, says that this meeting is a way for Trump to see Putin face to face and assess whether he's serious. Rubio said in a press conference earlier this week, quote, "The president feels like, look, I've got to look at this guy across the table. I need to see him face to face. I need to hear him one-on-one. I need to make an assessment by looking at him. That's what Rubio said in a Tuesday interview this week. So my thoughts on that seem to add up very well with what Rubio is relaying is President Trump's objectives and goals here. Again, would you love to make peace? Absolutely. Would President Trump love to, after, you know, a couple hour meeting today, would he love to come out to cameras from worldwide media outlets and say, after 3 years, after more than a million lives have been claimed on both sides of the conflict, would he love to come out to those cameras and say, I've done it. I've secured the peace agreement. These are the first steps. We're going to start a ceasefire. It's going to start, you know, within the next 20 days, 30 days, whatever the details are. Would Trump love to do that? Absolutely. I would hope and assume that anybody in any country across the world would love to see an end to this 3-year slug, and that's exactly what it is, Ben, of a war. I don't think that's something that is highly controversial at this point. But we've heard a lot of rhetoric. We've seen a lot of commentary from the Russian side, which can only really be described as propaganda, because that's exactly what it is. And the question remains, are they serious? And there's less they when you talk about the Russian side. It comes down to one man and one man only, in President Vladimir Putin. Is he serious about putting this war to an end? Does he have the political capital to put this war to an end? I have said for a long time, and I continue to believe this fact, that a lot of this is nothing more than pride. Trying to continue to portray the image of strong Mother Russia in the eyes of the Russian people. And that is why this conflict has gone on for 3 years, because it is clear and obvious to me that Vladimir Putin would see any sort of agreement, any sort of deal where he does not take over Ukraine as a failure. But I think the reality is very simple, or at least hopefully it's starting to set in for Putin, that that's not going to happen. If he wanted to take over Ukraine, he should have done it 3 years ago, when the war first began. Instead, the battle lines have stalled. There has not been significant movement I don't know how long it's been, a year since there's been actual, real, significant movement on the battle lines between Russia and Ukraine. They move a little bit. They may move a couple dozen miles here and there, but then they go right back. It's not anything significant. Putin and Russia are not going to, quote unquote, win the war like he would want. He is not going to be able to portray to his people. He is not going to be able to use the propaganda, which is, of course, controlled media in the state of Russia, which is exactly what they've got. He is not going to be able to control that narrative. He is not going to be able to claim to his people that they won the war. It's just not going to happen. I don't see any circumstance at this point in time, this far down the road, again, 3 years into the war, hundreds of thousands, upward estimates, over 1.5 million people have perished as a result, many of them on the front line, soldiers on both sides of the war. Of course, the countless amount of innocent civilians on both sides as well. There's no way that this just ends with Putin getting what he wants and what he's telegraphed with he wants, which is control back of Ukraine. He wants Ukraine to be part of Russia again, like it was in years past. That's what he is seeking. That I can only presume is the reason that he originally started this conquest some 3 years ago. You'll remember the interesting interview that Putin did with Tucker Carlson back a couple of years ago, which, again, was largely propaganda, going over this litany, this history of the strong country that is Russia, and how Ukraine, we have all these similar things in common, and we're going to get them back. And this just complete revisionist history of what exactly is going on and what has gone on in the past. That's what he wants. That's his goal. That's his objective, right? I don't know that there's a whole lot of contradicting viewpoints or contradicting thoughts on that. He wants complete and total control over Ukraine. He does not want them to be a sovereign nation. He wants them to be part of Russia. I think that's a very accurate and fair assessment to draw. That is not going to happen. There is no conceivable way at this point that either A, peace deal grants him access to the entire country, or B, them actually, and I say them, we're talking about Russia actually being successful in taking over the country. It's just not going to happen. It's not. If Vladimir Putin wanted to do this, he sure as hell should have done it before Trump got back in the Oval Office. If he really wanted to make this thing go on the way that presumably he wants, he should have done it under the previous administration, which, as we know, was weak, feckless, and useless on the conflict. I'll remind you once again, I think this is an important fact to state, as the media today, regardless of what comes out of this agreement, which, again, I don't think the likelihood is that a ceasefire deal is actually made today. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I don't see that being the case. Regardless of what comes out of today, you will see those on the political left, those in the mainstream media, they're already starting it this morning. I've had cable news on since around 4:45 or so this morning. It's going to be a failure in their eyes, regardless. Trump could come out today and say that the war is over, peace has been made, and the conflict is done. That literally could happen this afternoon. And CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, and all the rest of them would take that as Trump somehow caved. How, yes, while the conflict looks like it's going to actually stop, it's not good enough, because they are incapable of giving Donald Trump credit for anything. They should be applauding the fact that, unlike their guy, which was Joe Biden, who was too much of a wuss, was too scared to pick up the phone, too scared to call Russian President Vladimir Putin and open the lines of communication, open the lines of negotiation between the U.S. and Ukraine and Russia. Their guy didn't do, frankly, folks, jack shit in over the past 3 years. Nothing. But outside of sending hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the great delegation that was the previous administration didn't do anything. Nothing. They sat there, they talked a big game to the American media, to the Western media, to try and portray that they were going to be strong against this. But when the rubber meets the road, when it actually comes down to, trying to find a solution to the problem, they didn't do anything. Nothing. Joe Biden did not once, since this war began, under his watch, not Donald Trump's watch, not the Republicans' watch, not the conservatives' watch, but exclusively under the control of Joe Biden, under his nose, this conflict began and played out. And not once did he pick up the phone and talk to his counterpart in Russia. There is no other way to describe that situation as complete and total incompetence and complete and total weakness. And that's exactly what it is. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are weak. They are incapable of dealing with issues. They are incapable of dealing with situations in front of them. This is one, but there's a litany of other problems. Immigration is a huge one that they watch unfold. Again, same thing, under their very eyes, under their very watch, at least with immigration, complete and total control from the president and the administration. They did nothing. The economy, inflation, nothing. Nothing. That was the theme of the Biden administration, which for those on the political right is a good thing. It's better when somebody who does not agree with you politically gets nothing done. And that is largely going to define Joe Biden and his administration. They didn't do anything, which I'm happy with. Yeah, of course, little pet projects here and there, sure. But when you talk about like big ticket issues, big ticket items, they didn't really do a whole hell of a lot of anything. And it all comes down to the very simple and now very obvious fact that Joe Biden was literally asleep at the wheel. His cognitive decline was incredibly severe, so much so that he was incapable of leading the United States. Now, CNN and MSNBC and the rest of the mainstream media would never have admitted that at the time. They called people who said that conspiracy theorists, right-wing loons, nothing more than pushing misinformation on the American people. You'll remember all of that. And then, of course, the great Jake Tapper on CNN then writes this expose book after the fact about how, oh, man, we just can't believe it. We can't believe that Joe Biden was actually cognitively declining his entire administration. Can you believe that? Even though the evidence was right in front of our eyes, we didn't know it was happening. Don't look over here. It wasn't a real thing. Then, of course, goes on to write a book and presumably make hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, selling a book covering what people like me and many other folks on the right-wing side of the political aisle, all of the things that we talked about for years on end. Now, the great Jake Tapper in CNN, they've got the real scoop. They've got the real story. The guy's a complete and total scumbag. So I say all of that, and I lay all of that out because no matter what happens today, it will never be good enough for those on the political left. And frankly, I don't really care what they think. If I'm just being perfectly blunt and honest with you, I don't really care. I'm not trying to appease those on the political left. This is a very important thing for conservatives to understand. You are never going to appease these people. Not just the media, but those on the left-wing side of the political. You're never going to appease them, so stop trying. I think one of the big differences between the first Trump administration and what you've seen over the last coming up on almost 7 months, 7 months, the 20th of August. One of the big things that you've seen from this second administration is they just don't care. And I'm not blaming anybody. I think this was a learning curve that Trump and his team and Trump 1.0 had to deal with. There was this attempt to try and appease isn't the right word, but to try and gain favor from those on the political left. To do things that were genuinely good for America, genuinely good for the country, and try and get credit from those in the media, from those on the Democrat side of the political aisle. And one thing that I am very certain of this morning is that is never going to happen. And it's not just a Trump issue. This is relevant all over the media landscape, at the national level, at the state level, and at the local level. When you talk about politics all across the spectrum, whether we're talking about a Wilmington City Council meeting, a New Hanover County Commission meeting, what's going on up in the General Assembly, what's happening in D.C., the same equation works out. You're never going to get credit for anything successful that you do as a conservative or Republican. I joked earlier this week about how Donald Trump could come out and cure cancer and it wouldn't be enough. There would have to be some sort of reason why it's not actually good. Oh, well, now people are going to lose their jobs because they're in the cancer research field, right? That would be the spin or something like that. They'd have to find a way to turn it into a negative situation. They'd have to find something to make the point, at least from their perspective, that what has actually happened has negative consequences and is therefore not good enough. And so in Trump 2.0, since January 20th of this year, you have seen a very different perspective from the administration. Trump is not trying to win over the media. He is not trying to win over those on the political left because it's a fruitless effort. It's a complete and total and utter freaking waste of time. It's never going to result in anything. It's never. I can promise you that. Never going to result in anything. Trump could come out today after this summit and say, the war is over. There will be no more bloodshed. It is done. The borders and the boundaries of the countries are going to stay the same. It's done. And you would turn on MSNBC and you'd have a bunch of crying, spitting mad liberals talking about how Donald Trump caved to Vladimir Putin and how this deal is not good for the people of Ukraine. So on and so forth. Meanwhile, when their guy was in power, meanwhile, while their guy was in control, they did nothing. And so I'm not interested in appeasing the left. I don't give a damn what CNN or MSNBC or the New York Times or the Washington Post or ABC and so on and so forth. I don't care what any of them think. It's irrelevant to me. Trump is not doing this stuff to appease them, which he was a little bit doing in the first administration, trying to win them over. It's never going to happen. You have to understand that. You have to cut your losses and say, I'm going to do what I think is best. I'm going to fight for the things that I believe in, regardless of whether it's going to get positive media attention or not. And that's exactly what the president has done over the last almost 7 months. He doesn't care. He is going full on assault on everything. And the media coverage has been atrocious. And Trump goes, whatever. We're just going to keep moving on it. We're going to keep doing the things that I promised the American people I would do, like ending the war between Russia and Ukraine, which is one of the things that he campaigned on and one of the things that he promised. And because this didn't happen day one, like the president had hoped for and claimed, I'm going to try and stop this war day one, that has now become the talking point. Well, you know, Trump didn't stop the war day one, so he failed. Meanwhile, Joe Biden was so weak, so useless, so incompetent that he couldn't even pick up the phone and talk to the guy. Trump is meeting with the Russian president in Alaska today, which I know everybody's aware of, but I'll state the obvious and the significance. The Russian president is traveling to the United States of America. Yes, it's not the continental United States. It is the outlying area up in Alaska. But the president is traveling, the Russian president is traveling to a United States today, which has not happened in, I don't know the last time he was in the United States. It's probably been 20 years since Putin stepped foot anywhere in the U.S. That is incredibly significant. But because Trump didn't stop it on day one, it's not good enough. It's never going to be good enough. And to just really drive this point home, I saw this clip on MSNBC this morning. I don't even know what this guy's name is. Was it Lawrence O'Donnell, some jackass over on MSNBC? Had this guy on yesterday talking about the war. And the Chiron reads, Trump deflects again from failed campaign promise to end Ukraine war in 24 hours. So they're already setting the narrative. These people have absolutely no shame. I might argue that many of those on the political left love the war, love the bloodshed, love the death and destruction that continues. And I feel confident saying that because these same individuals had no part in actually trying to resolve the conflict. These individuals played no significant role whatsoever in trying to bring peace. And so now, because of their own, again, incompetence and their own failures, they are now deflecting to Trump once again lie. Trump failed yet another campaign promise because he didn't end the war in 24 hours. That is one hell of a narrative to push. So here is just a couple of minutes of MSNBC last night, and the framing, the staging on all of this is being set because they can't talk positively about this. They can't possibly go on the air to their left-wing dwindling audience and claim, well, you know, we're going to have to give Trump credit here. He's actually meeting with Putin. He's actually trying to bring an end to the conflict. I played the clip earlier this week of Andrew Bolton, who, when was pressed by ABC about, hey, Trump has had some pretty significant deals. Trump has negotiated some pretty significant peace deals. Is that something that you would give the president for? And what was the end result? What was the response? No, those actually aren't that good. I'll pull that clip up again as well. I played it earlier this week, so we'll look at that again. But here, this was MSNBC last night. A Daily Beast columnist, David Rothkopf, talking to Lawrence O'Donnell of the great MSNBC. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, and it also shows that Donald Trump's position on this war has never changed. He took Putin's position. He tried to share the blame with the Ukrainians. He has said that the Russians are entitled to the lands they've claimed, that the people of Crimea want to be part of Russia. He has steadily backed Putin and pulled away the aid that we've been giving to Ukraine. And I don't see any reason to expect that tomorrow's meeting is going to produce a sea change in Donald Trump. I think you're going to get more kind of cozying up to Putin. and none of the kind of toughness that he said he was going to, you know, unleash if Putin didn't agree with him.
It's a hell of a framing of a narrative, isn't it? He's going to talk about cozying up to Putin. That narrative is still running. You mean from the 2016 election, you guys are still running with that? It's been a decade of this. It's been a decade of talking about Trump and Russia and some sort of the boyfriend relationship that exists between the two. It's been a decade, guys. It hasn't stuck because it's not based in any sort of reality. But again, that's the framing. That's what's being talked about. That is the stage that is being set. And again, I played this earlier in the week. I'm going to play it for you again. Here's Andrew Bolton on ABC This Week, their Sunday news program, and was asked very clearly, does Trump deserve credit for any of these foreign policy successes? And what did you hear from Andrew Bolton? The answer is no. They refuse to give Trump credit for anything.
You've been highly critical, obviously, of Trump's foreign policy generally and specifically on this case. Does he deserve some credit, though? He's had a string of what seemed to be legitimate foreign policy successes. You had the Azerbaijan-Armenia deal that was announced at the White House. He helped broker the agreement between Congo and Rwanda to stop the fighting there. He also helped to broker the agreement between Cambodia and Thailand. I mean, they're talking Nobel Peace Prize. I don't expect you to endorse the Nobel Peace Prize for Trump, but doesn't he deserve some credit for all of this?
Well, I don't think what he has done materially changes the situations in any of those circumstances or several others he's mentioned, like Pakistan, India, where the Indians, not just the government, the entire country, are outraged that he tried to take credit for that. In Thailand, Cambodia, he simply threatened tariffs. If they didn't sign a deal, they've signed a deal. Nothing has changed. And the real kicker in Azerbaijan, Armenia, was the Russians allowing Azerbaijan to take control of Nagorno-Karabakh in the past year. So I think what Trump has done is make it clear that he wants a Nobel Peace Prize more than anything else.
There you go. There's Andrew Bolton, the great, great mustachio man himself. So I play all of that. I set up that stage. I bring you all of that information just to, I say, manage your expectations. I know many of you don't have any expectations of the media, but I think it's important to frame it and understand that regardless of what happens today, the media coverage will be negative. I mean, it literally doesn't matter. You just heard from this clown on MSNBC about how Trump is going to be weak with Putin. Why the hell would he set up a meeting in Alaska to cozy up to him and give him parts of Crimea? Why would they have to set up a meeting to do that? Trump could, if what we are being told by those on the political left is true, then that could have easily been done with a phone call. I mean, why would you waste so much time, money, and resources setting up this summit in Alaska? Why would Donald Trump be leaving at 7 o'clock this morning, presumably leaving in the next little bit, between 7 and 8 o'clock, is going to be in Alaska all day today and is immediately jumping back on a plane, and he will land back at the White House and land back in Washington, D.C. around 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. So he is literally going nonstop from this morning for the next 24 hours, nonstop. All of that to cozy up to Putin more? I don't understand. If he's already in bed with the Russian president, what is all of this pomp and circumstance for? I don't understand. And of course, none of this is based in any sort of reality or fact. It's just a left-wing narrative, a left-wing talking point, because they are incapable of giving President Donald Trump credit for anything. And that's really what this comes down to. Regardless of what we learn from today. And again, my expectations are we're not going to get a peace deal because I continue to believe that the Russian president is not interested in peace. And there's only so much that Trump is able to do. If Vladimir Putin is not interested in bringing the war to an end, Trump is relatively neutered. There's not a whole hell of a lot he can do. Now, we'll get into some of the retaliatory things that Trump has talked about. We'll get into some of the sanctions and some of those details that could play out. But those only go so far. Outside of the United States actively getting involved in a war with Russia itself, there's not a whole hell of a lot that Trump can do. So he's trying to bring everybody to the table. He's trying to start the negotiating process and look this guy eye to eye, look him face, look right at him, right down his face and say, we're ending this. We're bringing this to an end. Now, you can either be part of that or not. And so that, I think, is the real probably big thing that you're going to see out of the meeting today. Again, it's happening at 3:30 Eastern. Let me pull up my calendar here so that I can the press guidance. So at 11 a.m. Alaskan time, the president is set to participate in those bilateral agreements with the president of Russia. Then at 5:45 p.m. 5:45 p.m. Alaskan time, which is, I think, 5 hours behind, he will leave the United States and fly back, or leave Alaska, I should say, fly back to the United States and land in D.C. There's set to be a lunch this afternoon in Alaska. And then if things go in presumably any sort of positive way, potentially a joint press conference sometime later this afternoon and into the evening hours here on the East Coast. So that is kind of the schedule for today, as the president is expected to depart from the United States, from Washington, D.C., coming up here in just a little bit. His plane is currently sitting on the tarmac, sitting on the runway over at Joint Base Andrews. The president should be arriving momentarily. If he does speak to the media, we'll try and get those comments and bring those to you. He just posted on Truth Social about 15 minutes ago in all caps, high stakes. And that is exactly what we are expecting today in Alaska. We'll continue the coverage coming up here in a few minutes right here on the Nick Craig Show. Before that, I do want to thank our great advertisers and our great supporters like the Law Group here in Wilmington. And I want to let you know that when legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the Law Group. For over 20 years, since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team of attorneys ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as promptly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located right around the corner in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call today, 910-251-6088, or visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support, allowing the show to continue on the airwaves, all of that possible. Thanks to our great sponsors like the Law Group here in Wilmington. We'll continue the discussion of the high-stakes meeting between Russian President Vladimir Putin and U.S. President Donald Trump. Plus, we'll get some of your comments as well on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook as the Nick Craig Show rolls on live on a Friday morning and, again, available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us on what is expected to be a very busy news day across really the world as this joint meeting between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump is expected to start around 3:30 Eastern time. The president is currently in the process of leaving the White House, heading on over to Joint Base Andrews. Well, he will hop on Air Force One and take the about 7-hour flight to Alaska, where that meeting is set to take place today. Again, the high stakes meeting with the Russian president. All of this, of course, revolving around the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine that has been going on. So the talks will kick off at 11:30 local time in Alaska, 3:30 on the East Coast at the joint base in Alaska, a U.S. military installation located in the northern part of Anchorage. They will reportedly begin with a one-on-one meeting between Trump and Putin, accompanied only by their interpreters. The length of that conversation will depend on the two leaders, according to Putin's foreign policy aide. following that session. Then there's some rumor that Marco Rubio may be in those initial talks as well. Leaders will continue discussion over a working lunch where their delegations will be present. So that'll be, J.D. Vance and other folks will be present for the more lunch portion of that, but the talks themselves ongoing between the world's two leaders. So here's an image I saw on social media showing the delegation. You can see from the United States side, of course, you've got Trump and J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, Steve Witkoff, and the Treasury Secretary and Scott Bassett as they continue those negotiations. And then over, of course, on the Russian side, you've got the Russian president and then his group of diplomats that will be at that meeting. So you talk about a powerhouse crowd with Trump and Rubio in the room with Putin and his top officials is going to be a very interesting situation to watch unfold. You'd love to be a fly in the wall in that room when that negotiation is taking place. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt told Fox News yesterday, quote, "Tomorrow morning," meaning today, "bright and early, we will be departing the White House for our joint military base in Anchorage, Alaska, where he, meaning the president, will engage in a one-on-one meeting with President Putin, followed by a bilateral lunch with representative delegations from both countries and then a press conference." The question is, what will that press conference be? Will it be joint? Will it just be the president? Trump will undoubtedly speak to the media. One thing that the Democrats can't even take away from him is that his ability and his willingness to speak to the media is unlike what you've seen out of literally any other administration. I mean, the left can rag on Trump all they want. They can claim that this, that, and the other about the president. One thing they absolutely have no claim to make is the fact that President Trump is not highly accessible to the media. Whenever he is traveling, he's sometimes speaking with them 5 or 6 times in a single day, leaving the White House, getting to Joint Base Andrews, talking to them on the plane, then arriving at the location, talking to them once again, talking to them on the plane on the way back, talking when he lands at the back in Washington, D.C. I mean, 6, 7, 8 times in a single day on a trip. You can't claim he's not speaking to the media. You can't claim that he's not bringing some level of transparency to the current administration. And of course, that is a complete and total switch from what you saw in the past. I mean, we went weeks, sometimes months, without hearing from Joe Biden. You wouldn't see him. You wouldn't hear from him. You'd get a statement from the president posted on social media. But of course, we know he wasn't writing those himself. So there were weeks, months at a time where you had no idea what the hell was going on in the previous administration. They'd send, of course, Karine Jean-Pierre out every couple of days in her press briefing to lie to the American people, to make false accusations and claims and completely misrepresent what was going on. But you never actually heard from the previous commander in chief. Very infrequently did you actually hear from the man himself. And I love the fact that Trump speaks to the media as much as he does. I love the level of transparency that we get, and I hope it's something that continues in future administrations, regardless of their political party. There is something very substantial about, at least to me as an American, me as an American voter, me as an American citizen, when you can hear directly from the horse's mouth as it relates to the president. Yes, having a press secretary is good. Yes, of course, sending out your surrogates to do media, all of that is fine and dandy. It's an important part of the equation. I get that. But hearing directly from the leader of the free world, hearing directly from the president, is something that Trump has absolutely leveled up the game on, and I hope it's something that continues. So you're going to have the private meeting, then a lunch, then potentially a press conference, not immediately clear exactly what time that would happen. I've heard some rumblings, maybe around 7 o'clock. I know Trump is sitting down and is speaking one-on-one with Sean Hannity. That will air tonight at 9 o'clock. So maybe we'll learn some more details from the president if there's not a press conference that takes place. The American delegation will consist of 5 members, those that we just went through. And there is a report that no documents are expected to be signed during the meeting. That's according to a Kremlin spokesperson. Again, lending itself to the fact that we are probably not going to get a peace deal today. And this is more of an attempt by the president to figure out whether Vladimir Putin and the Russian delegation as a whole are actually serious about this, whether they are actually serious about making this thing happen. Are they interested in peace, or are they interested in continuing the war, continuing the conflict? To what avail? I have no idea. To whether they think it's going to play out, the answer to that question remains largely unknown this morning, again, because there's so much that is unknown with this. President Donald Trump was on with Brian Kilmeade yesterday morning on his radio show, and they had a pretty expansive conversation. I think it's important to listen to just a couple of minutes of this. Here's the Brian Kilmeade show yesterday morning.
6 wars this year. Yeah, this was going to be one of my easy ones, but it never works out that way. This turns out to be probably the most difficult. I stopped one that was raging for 35 years, one that was raging in the Congo with Rwanda, you know that, for 31 years. And this one is raging for 3.5 years, and I'm not happy about it. It's ridiculous, and we're going to get it stopped. We're going to get it stopped. I inherited this from Joe Biden. But we're going to get it stopped.
So Vladimir Putin just spoke, and I have the readout, if I could share it with you. Just said the American administration, which, as everyone knows, is making, in my opinion, quite energetic and sincere efforts to stop the hostilities, stop the crisis, and reach agreements that are in the interest of all parties involved in this conflict in order to create long-term conditions of peace between our countries and in Europe and in the world as a whole. If we reach agreements in the area of control over strategic offensive weapons at the next stage, and then it's cut off. So he seems to be in the right mindset going in. How will you know if he's in the mindset for a ceasefire and a long-term end to the conflict?
Well, I think you'll know that in the first couple of minutes, but I think you already know that because he's coming to Alaska. He's coming to the USA, and I think you know that. I think that's a nice statement. I just heard it. You gave me a little breaking news. I appreciate it. But I think he wants to get it done. I really feel he wanted the whole thing. I think if it weren't me, if it was somebody else, he would be not talking to anybody. He wasn't talking. You know, when I was previous to being elected, unfortunately, the 2020 election where we did so well, it was very unfortunate, the result. But what happened is when I came in, I realized, I said, this is a man that really wants the whole thing. And I think he does want the whole thing. And I think he has wanted the whole thing. But because of a certain relationship that he has with me running this country, he's convinced that he's going to make a deal. He's going to make a deal. I think he's going to. And we're going to find out. I'm going to know very quickly. We're going to go into the meeting. We're going to see him. We're going to, I won't do what Bush did, look him in the eye. I'm not going to do that. I'll look him right in the eye, but I feel a little bit differently than Bush. It didn't work out too well for Bush. Remember this, Brian. Under Bush, they lost a lot of land. Under Obama, they lost a lot of land, Crimea. Under Biden, they would have lost the whole thing if he had won the president. They would have lost the entire Ukraine. And had the war started and raging. It would have never started if I was president. Not even a chance. And it didn't for 4 years. You know that. Nobody ever even talked about it. But under Trump, you know what? They got nothing. Except javelins hitting their tanks and lots of other things. And remember this, I was the one that stopped Nord Stream 2. You know, they always like to say, Trump is working for Putin. You know, these crooked people, which they just found out now is all, they should they should be prosecuted. They're so disgraceful. But they made up stories. As Putin knows, I'm the toughest one that he's ever had to deal with. He's never had to deal with anybody like me. And right. Here's the other thing, Brian. They got nothing out of Trump. They got no land. They didn't do
right.
a Bush. They didn't do an Obama. And they didn't do a Biden.
So the way I understand it, Mr. President, it's hard to find out exactly what's going on in Russia. This should, by the way, they're made up. Even the people of Russia don't know what's going on. Right. It looks like 45% of their economy is military oriented. Their factories are so depleted. They're having North Koreans work the factories and do their fighting. Do you believe that by saying shrinking down from 50 to 10 days and just a handful of days, was that threat is the reason why Steve Witkoff heard from them that they wanted to meet? Do you think that's the reason we're having this meeting in Alaska, because you were about to put on sanctions?
I think everything has an impact. When I told India, and which essentially took them out of buying oil from Russia, that we're going to charge you because you're dealing with Russia on oil purchases. India was the second largest and getting pretty close to China. China's the largest. And as you know, there was something in the works for that. And then they called and they wanted to meet. We're going to see what the meeting means. But certainly when you lose your second largest customer, and you're probably going to lose your first largest customer, I think that probably has a role. I think he respects our country now. He didn't respect it under Biden. Nobody respected us under Biden. But he respects our country now.
Right.
And we have the hottest country anywhere in the world. We had a country, the market's raging. Look at the reports coming out. Everybody's moving back to the United States car companies.
So there's the president on the Brian Kilmeade radio show yesterday morning talking about the setup, saying that within the first couple of minutes, I will know whether this is serious or not. Those sanctions set to go in place. A great question there from Brian Kilmeade as to whether that progressed and moved this thing forward. I think it's a pretty accurate thing to say and a pretty good assessment to draw, that because of the risk of tariffs and additional economic pressures for Russia, that it caused a lot of this to take place, including this meeting that we're set to see coming up a little bit later on today. So that's pretty much it as of right now. The president, the Air Force One, continues to remain on the tarmac over at a Joint Base Andrews. Will take off presumably as soon as President Donald Trump gets there. I was hoping that we'd hear a little bit from him as he was getting on the plane. He typically talks to the media. Was expecting that in the 7 o'clock hour. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen now, but likely talking to them probably on the plane. And then the meeting will take place 3:30 this afternoon. I would imagine by looking at the official schedule one more time, let me just make sure I've got my times right on this. I would suspect maybe by 5, 6, 7 p.m. Eastern here in the U.S. that press conference would take place, because the president is set to depart at 5:45 Alaskan time. So that'll be around a little after 10 o'clock here on the East Coast, that press conference will take place, and we'll find out. So again, don't have any sort of high hopes or expectations that the media will give the president credit for brokering this in the first place, for getting the Russian president onto U.S. territory to make this deal. But that's the unfortunate reality of the media. A lot going on today. A high stakes meeting to bring this thing to a close. We'll hear about it. May or may not do another live stream later on tonight, depending on what time it looks like all of this is going to take place. So if you're around tonight when that takes place, head on over to either our YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, or X channel. We'll try and keep you up to date on that. And if not, we'll have a full rundown, a full recap coming up Monday morning with audio, with clips from the press conference or from the president itself. And we'll see exactly what goes on there. So a lot happening today in the United States. Wish I could provide you more detail and information, just rather scarce right now before and ahead of this meeting taking place. We'll have a full recap and full rundown coming up Monday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, that's going to do it for a Friday edition. Thanks to the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Thanks to those over on our Patreon for their continued support as well. We're back Monday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for spending another week here on the Nick Craig Show. We'll chat with you next week. Have a great weekend.